Joining us now, another gentleman who does a fantastic job covering this team for a living from the DNVR.com, our friend Ryan Konigsberg. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Konigsberg. And Ryan, I guess the first thing I want to ask about, for besides saying welcome to the program and thanks for joining me, it's been a little while since I had a chance to talk to you, but does the fact the Broncos turned this into a field day today make you feel as if they're not taking this offseason seriously enough?
No. What's up, Sean? Great to talk to you. No, I mean, this type of stuff is planned out months in advance. They knew when they set up this schedule that they were going to have a field day today. It's a team bonding type of thing. It builds a nice little, you know, some goodwill between the coaches and the players, and it's a nice, fun little thing to do, but it has nothing to do with taking it seriously. It's not based on success from last year. It's just a nice way to say, hey, you know, everyone have a good summer. Let's have a little fun before we get out of here. And, you know, on our podcast today, I equated it to, like, the last day of school for kids. Could you get some Algebra 2 in on the last day of eighth grade? Sure, yes, you could. But are you even going to remember what you learned when you come back for the first day of school next year? No, you aren't. You're going to have to go all over it all over again. So anything they could have done today, I don't think it's going to make the difference between any wins and losses in the fall.
Yeah, I think I agree with you entirely. I think you look at these situations, and like I said right before you came in, I think one of the side effects of having the NFL be front of mind all the time is that it makes everything feel equally important. And the truth of the matter is, look, it's not equally important.
No, it's not. And it's why Vic Fangio said that, you know, these are, 2 to 3% of the evaluations of the quarterback position now. I think he undersold that a little bit, but I will say, you know, in talking to players, especially about, you know, the way that the media was evaluating the quarterbacks and stuff, as we're of course going to do during these periods when they allow us to watch, is the players are saying, hey, listen, you know, during these OTAs, during minicamp, what we're really doing is we go in with the coaches, they tell us what they think we really need to work on, and then you're working on what you're not good at. So you're obviously not going to look as good in these periods because you're trying to tune up and figure out what you need to work on during the time between now and training camp. And this OTA / minicamp period is kind of a way for them to, the coaches, to say, okay, here's what you're not doing well, here's how we want to do to fix it, and kind of put them on a path so when they do break for the summer and they do want to work out on their own, they have a kind of a plan. So, yeah, it really is not a big deal what happens here. But you're right, and I heard what you were saying when you were coming on the show. The NFL does an amazing job of making everything seem like a big deal. And it's a 24-hour, 365 news cycle, and we got to have stuff to talk about. So, you know, a little tidbit here and there from these camps gets us through a week.
Well, let's think of some of the more substantive stuff coming out of this mini camp and really the off-season program in general. One of the first things I want to look at is Teddy Bridgewater is new to the team, but he spent a little time with Pat Shurmur in Minnesota. Of course, George Payton's familiar with him in Minnesota, part of the group that drafted him. And now when you take a look at him hopping in there and having very good rapport with Jerry Jeudy, right off the bat, how much of a potential impact does that have on this competition if that continues going into training camp?
I think it has a pretty big impact, and I think that the loss of Courtland Sutton last year had a huge impact on Drew Lock. And then you come back and you start a training camp battle, and the wide receiver, the good wide receiver that he had the best rapport with was Courtland. He doesn't have him. We all know that he didn't have a great rapport with Jerry Jeudy last year, and both of those guys were at fault in that for one reason or another at certain points throughout the season. And so that hurts him. And then, of course, Teddy comes in and just starts hitting it off with Jerry right away, and that, you know, that's the number one receiver out there right now, and it's also a guy who they invested a number one draft pick in last season, a guy who they have extremely high hopes for. And so while I don't think Vic Fangio is going to sit down Jerry Jeudy and say, hey, who's your favorite quarterback, who do you think we should go with here, I think that having that chemistry is really big. And then who knows what's going to happen when Courtland does get back out on the field and they kind of get to start to see who's going to have, or if Teddy has good chemistry with him as well. So, yeah, that's an interesting one for Drew and kind of a tough obstacle that he's going to have to overcome there, because just naturally, you know, after your last season and your Jerry Jeudy, you're thinking, man, well, I didn't do so well with Drew, but I feel like I could really blow up with Teddy. And, you know, players are just going to naturally pick favorites over the course of this process.
I've spoken about this before, Ryan, my idea that I don't truly think this is a 50-50 competition, because if the Broncos were believing that Drew Lock could be the guy, they wouldn't have pursued so many quarterbacks in the offseason. Now that you have Teddy Bridgewater here and a team that is defensive-minded, from a defensive-minded head coach with highly paid defense, you're not really looking for an offense that takes chances and fires it down the field. You're looking for an offense that minimizes mistakes generally, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you are. And it's why, you know, you heard about Drew Lock taking all these checkdowns, especially during OTAs, always checking it down every time, Because that's what they want him to start to think. They want him to start to think about the field from shallow to deep rather than from deep to shallow. And that's, you know, that's going to be an interesting thing for him. I think he's gone his whole career saying that he's a gunslinger, and he really wanted to, like, he wanted to be that. He wanted to portray that character. And I think he has to completely unlearn that. And I think he realizes that this is kind of his last shot here. If he doesn't win this job, you know, his chances of becoming a starting quarterback in the NFL go down substantially beyond this year. So I think he's having to relearn that. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, that's who he is, you know, and that's why they brought him in. And obviously he has a relationship with Pat Shurmur. He has a relationship with George Payton as well. So he's not, you know, just completely coming in blind here as the challenger. I think he might have some people in his corner. And like you said, he's the safer guy with the ball. And the other thing here is it always brings in, you know, interesting dynamics when coaches are coaching for their jobs. And that's what's going on here with Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. And you know, those two guys are fighting for their jobs. Everyone down the line is fighting for their jobs. So, again, and the onus is on Drew here to prove to them that, hey, not only am I the younger guy with probably the better tools, but I can also make those decisions. I can be the guy that you can trust out there. And that's a big leap for him to make.
Now, I do think that what you bring up an interesting point there, because to my mind, the best thing for the Broncos long term for this season and then going into 2022 and beyond is that Drew Lock takes the bull by the horns, takes this job, and then runs with it. That makes the best situation for everybody. But you brought up Vic Fangio's situation. That changes the dynamic, right? Because Vic Fangio is less concerned about how Drew Lock might play in 2022 because he has to win games right now in 2021. The perspective that Fangio is going to have, to my mind, seems like it's going to be different than what most fans see. Am I off base there?
No, I think you're right. I think you're perfect. And what's weird about that is Vic Fangio has very little, I mean, a lot less job security than what George Payton has. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how George Payton handles this. I think traditionally in a GM head coach relationship, the GM says, hey, you're the head coach. You make the final call here. But it's really weird for the head coach who's thinking short term to be making decisions about the team that is really run by the general manager, who obviously should be thinking long term here. And if I'm George Payton, I'm, you know, leaning towards what you were saying just a second ago, as the best thing for the Broncos long term is Drew Lock. Now, he's got a hit, but even if you put Drew Lock out there as a starter and it doesn't work out, well, that probably means you're in a better position to find the quarterback of the future next year, even if it doesn't work out. So to me, George Payton should be, I don't know if he is, should be leaning towards Drew Lock, whereas, you know, Vic Fangio probably is leaning towards Teddy Bridgewater.
Which is interesting, of course, because Peyton brings in Bridgewater, a guy that he's familiar with, a guy that members of his coaching staff are familiar with. And in part, this is because, let's be honest, it wasn't that they were tripping all over themselves to get Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was the best available option at a very reasonable price, and so that's why he ended up where he is. But you talked about this being Drew Lock's last chance with Denver, at least, and I'm inclined to agree. So I guess I would ask this. If Drew Lock doesn't win the job out of camp and out of preseason, does that mean he missed his last chance, or does the fact that both of these guys have had significant injury histories, even Lock in his brief career has had that, I think you're going to see both of these guys take some snaps over the course of the season. Does he lose the job, and is he ready to move on for good if he doesn't get it right out of camp? Or if he comes in as a backup at Bridgewater falters, is that the same opportunity? Does it matter when Drew Lock looks good?
Sorry, you broke up there a little bit, but I think you were saying, like, do you think there's a chance that both guys play throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, and if they do, does it matter if Drew Lock ended up coming in as the second quarterback if he didn't win the job out of camp?
I think that if he comes in as the second quarterback, then he has a chance to kind of recapture the magic and maybe, you know, keep it going. I think that if he is named the starter and he goes out there and throws, you know, five picks in the first 3 weeks or whatever it is, the Broncos are 1-2, and they pull him for Teddy, I think then it's really done. But I do think that, you know, if it's neck and neck through training camp and they look at the schedule and they say, hey, look, we've got a kind of easy start here. Let's go with the safer option to start. And for whatever reason, you know, after they get off to a decent start, they say, hey, you know, Teddy, he just can't get it done in the red zone. You know, this is a guy who Drew Lock threw more touchdowns last season than Teddy has ever in his career.
Right.
So while he's safe with the ball, he also doesn't make many explosive plays and he doesn't punch it in once he gets inside the 20. So maybe later in the season they say, hey, look, it's not working for us. And Drew comes in and he has a new perspective, having watched from the sidelines a little more, and he gets it going again. I think he has a better chance of extending it coming in as the second guy and rather than going in as the first guy and it not working out and then having to pull the plug.
We're talking with Ryan Konigsberg on Twitter. And I guess last one for you, now that the next stop is training camp, where do you think, besides quarterback, the position battles for potential starting jobs still are?
Yeah, right tackle is going to be, sadly, once again, probably the biggest question mark on the entire team. Obviously, quarterback, you know, we know what that's all about. But right tackle, we still don't have any clarity. Bobby Massey hasn't been out there. He's probably the favorite, if he does get out there, when he does get out there, to take the job. But from everything we've heard and from what our guys have seen, it wasn't pretty over on that side of the field during these OTAs and minicamp. So that, to me, is one that's up for grabs. And you just hope that Bobby Massey goes in there and takes it. But I think most people in Broncos country are not crossing their fingers too much when it comes to the right tackle position. It's just been a mess for years now. Other than that, I think that the running back position is up for grabs. I think that, you know, they really, really love Javonte Williams. And when I say they really love him, I mean, some of the stuff I've heard from behind the scenes, like, makes me say, really? Like, you guys like him that much? So, you know, they love him, and I think they want him to go ahead and take the job. And also at that position, I think that Mike Boone is going to actually play. I don't think he's just going to be a special teams guy. I think they actually want to work him into the rotation. So Melvin Gordon, you know, with that big old cap hit being on his last year, I don't think is in that safe of ground when it comes to his carries, his touches, and so on. And then beyond that, I think the other interesting one is the cornerback situation. Now, unlike the right tackle situation, you have a ton of options over there. But what's exciting about it is who's going to be the one, who's going to be the two, who's going to be the three, who's going to be the four, which, you know, whoever is the fourth cornerback on this roster is still going to be a very, very good cornerback. And I'm really interested to see, as training camp shakes out, where do they work in Patrick Surtain? Because this is a guy who is just off the charts athletic. His movements, that's what blows me away about him. Similar to, you know, the way that I felt about Jerry Jeudy when I watched him. It's like, wow, the way this guy moves isn't like other people. Pat Surtain's the same way. He's so fluid. He's so smooth. He's so silky in everything he does. And he's ready to play. The question is, if he does go out there and he takes a top three spot, who's not playing? Because you're paying Kyle Fuller a lot of money. You're paying Ronald Darby a lot of money on an extended contract. Bryce Callahan is more of a specialized guy in the slot. I just think that whole situation is going to be really fascinating, and it's a great problem to have for Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell in that defense to try and figure out how are they going to use all those guys and how are they going to take advantage of all their abilities.
He is Ryan Konigsberg. Check him out on Twitter, at Ryan Konigsberg, and, of course, at DNVR, which is thednvr.com, for all the work that he does out there. A terrific group of guys working hard on that team, and Ryan is sort of the tip of the spear. So it's always very good to talk to you about it. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
All right, man. Great talking to you.
All right, thanks so much, Ryan Kotesberg of DNVR. And he brings up a couple of interesting points about that right tackle position in particular, because we haven't seen Bobby Messi yet. I mean, yeah, he is the favorite to win it, almost certainly, but just can't seem to get that position quite right. And dealing with injuries already, it's okay if you're more than a little bit concerned about how that goes. The Broncos, for their final day of camp, had a field day. Do you have a problem with it? Some people do. There are some folks that think that that's the Broncos missing an opportunity to improve. Well, that depends on what you think needs to be improved, doesn't it? I'll explain next.